If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio!
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. If you're listening to this episode the time it comes out, you probably just heard an episode about campus radio. I interviewed a representative of CKUW, and now we're here again talking about going across town and talking about the other local campus community station, UMFM. And this show has had a pretty long-standing relationship with UMFM. Early on in the history of the podcast, my guest who's on the episode today reached out and asked if I was interested in having Witch Police Radio broadcast over the airwaves on UMFM, which was great because I'd always wanted to have a campus radio show, but I never didn't live near, especially the University of Manitoba, to get down there and actually commit to doing one. So the fact that you'd kind of offered to put Witch Police on there was it solved the problem I think I had. But before we get into any of that stuff, best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about what it is you do at the station.
Thank you very much for having me on. My name is Jared Makediak. I am the station manager at UMFM, or CJUM, which is our official call letters.
Right.
I have been at the station now as a volunteer since 99, but as a staff member since 2001.
That's a pretty lengthy time to be at. I mean, even for these days, for anyone to be at any one job that long is unheard of almost. So that's like a pretty serious commitment to this kind of volunteer-driven radio. When you started doing this job, I mean, even after you'd been volunteering for a while, did you expect that this would be something that would consume so much of your life?
Short answer, no. No, not at all. I mean, so I always wanted to be a broadcaster. When I was growing up, I wanted to be a sports broadcaster. Specifically, I wanted to be a baseball guy. And then I got the opportunity to do hockey play-by-play for the Portage Terriers.
Oh, cool.
For a couple of seasons. And I was kind of hooked on broadcasting. When I went to school, I decided to go into computer science. The internet was just kind of starting to blow up, the whole dot-com boom, and I wanted to make money. And so I was a comm sci guy and ended up doing that for a few years and just honestly got burnt out. So I quit my job, which was very stable and was well-paying at the time, and I was fortunate enough to get a job at a record store. The old Musiplex downtown.
That was a good store.
It was a fantastic store. And so a couple of my coworkers volunteered at the two campus stations. UMFM had been on the air, I guess, for about a year. CKUW had obviously been around, but had only been on the FM airwaves for about half a year at that point. One night, we were closing up, and the coworker said, "Hey, I need a co-host tonight. You can talk about music. Do you want to come?" And I've been there ever since.
It seems like the type of place that would draw someone in like that and kind of make them stick around for as long as you have.
For sure. And the thing is, right, is like I grew up in a small town. I used to work you know, summer jobs. I worked at running a concession stand at a swimming pool, and then I worked at a golf course. And so the radio was on nonstop. And being a little bit further afield from Winnipeg, the only stations that really came through were Power 97, 92 City. I don't think any of the like the popular stations were really a thing at that point. And so I was hearing the same music over and over and over again, right? And there's nothing wrong with it. I grew up on a lot of classic rock and different stuff. But after a while of hearing the same playlists sort of for 4 or 5 months at a time, I started to really crave something new.
Yeah.
And so at that time, you know, grunge was about to break. I was reading, I was going to the library at the school, and they had like the, I don't know if the school that you went to, the high school, had like the room at the back of the library where it had all of the books that couldn't leave
yep.
the library.
I hung out there all the time in high school. That was like my, the hangout spot. Yeah.
Right. And so it was, you know, like where you would find super interesting books, periodicals, things that couldn't leave. But the school had subscriptions to Rolling Stone magazine and Spin, and had stacks and stacks of archived issues, right? And so every week, I think Rolling Stone was publishing weekly at that point, right? The new issue would come in, the librarian would hold it for me. I would come, I would read the record reviews, but then you would see the different advertisements for new albums and stuff, right? And so I'm reading about all of these bands that I had never heard, but they seemed interesting, right? And so like I remember reading about the Pixies and the Melvins and all sorts of sort of precursors to grunge. And at that time, I also discovered late night CBC. So Nightlines and Brave New Waves with Patti Smith. And it was just like this explosion went off in my brain, and it was just like, oh my God, this is radio, right? Like this is, it was Freeform. It was playing all sorts of wild stuff, and you would jump from genre to genre to genre. And, you know, around the same time, you know, my grandparents lived in the States. So I would go down to the US for a nice break over the summer and would watch MTV.
Oh yeah.
And so like 120 minutes and like Buzzbin and stuff like that were going on, and it was like all of the Seattle bands, Nirvana, all of that stuff, right, was blowing up, and then all the associated things. And so it was just like such an amazing time for music, and I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to be on the radio, and I want to play weird stuff.
Yeah.
And I want to play all sorts of things. And so I never really thought about kind of being able to make a career of it, but UMFM presented me with this opportunity, and then, you know, that position opened up and I applied and I got it. And like I said, I've been there ever since. I thought about, you know, like ultimately the goal was, oh, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to cut my teeth. I'm going to get some experience. And then I want to go work at the CBC.
Yeah.
I wanted to work in the CBC record library.
That'd be a great job.
And I wanted, it'd be amazing. And then the CBC slowly got rid of all their record libraries. And it was just like, well, I think I, you know, and being able to work with volunteers and all sorts of like really interesting folks and great programmers. And it was just like, well, I think, and I saw CBC starting to change and do their thing, right? And it's just like, I think I'm ruined for regular radio. I think, you know, like I might go get another job, but if I'm involved in radio, it's going to be on a campus station. And so, you know, I served on the board for the National Campus Radio Association. I got to know programmers from all across the country, and, you know, did a stint working as our program director at UMFM, and so got to interact with all these really cool record labels that, you know, I had been buying their stuff forever. And yeah, so at the end of the day, You know, long story short, no, I didn't think I was going to stay there for this long, but I love what I do, and I love the people that I work with. And
that helps,
I think that if you can find a job like that, you hold on to it for dear life, right?
Absolutely. So. Yeah. Well, and I do want to talk about some current things that are happening with the station, but it's interesting. I mean, I'm a little younger. It's interesting how much that story that you just told is very similar. I mean, I grew up in Winnipeg, so I had more access to record stores and things like that. But same thing. I mean, reading Rolling Stone in the school library and eventually getting a subscription to it and just poring over all these bands that I couldn't hear yet because it's pre-internet. The radio's playing the same five mainstream bands, right? And when ULM FM and then CKUW both sort of went on air, that was sort of the light bulb moment for me. It was I stopped listening to all other radio stations when ULM FM came on, and that was on like 24/7 because even if I didn't like what I was hearing, it was different and it was new. And I got turned on to so much cool stuff just from the, I wish I had kept track of who the hosts were and which shows they were that I was listening to at the time, because a lot of my musical taste, I think even now, is based heavily on just what was playing on ULM FM. And I think I'm not alone in that too. I think a lot of people in the city and really anywhere in the country had the same experience with campus community radio and just got introduced to just a world of stuff. It's different now because the internet, obviously radio still has that power to introduce you to things. But I think in an era before you could just type in something and get it immediately on your phone, that was sort of that was the source.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, like there was such, and there always, I think that there always has been, and there, and you know, like knock on wood, always will be a great music scene in Winnipeg. Right. But at that sort of like what I called like the heyday of the campus community radio sort of boom here. And obviously I'm biased because both stations have been around for longer than I've been involved.
Yeah.
But like 98, 99, there, it was like this amazing convergence. There were so many cool bands doing things. There was, you know, multiple sort of scenes happening, hip hop and punk and indie rock and alt country and different things. But then also there was like this great sort of stable of venues that were putting on shows, and everybody was coming through town and there were super interesting things. And it was just a really, really great time to be sort of young, with some, a little bit of disposable income, a lot more energy and, you know, like going out and like doing this stuff and getting to know people. And, you know, like obviously working at a record store too, where I got to talk about music all day and got to work with a lot of interesting coworkers who were, you know, some of them were musicians or had friends who were musicians, and they'd come through and be like, oh, okay, so you play in this band. And then like getting to meet a couple of people who, you know, were super formative in terms of like influencing me and sort of pushing me towards the radio too, because they were doing things and I was listening to their programs. And it's just like, yeah, you know what? Like I wanted to do this, and now there's a place where I can go and do it and I don't have to have any credentials or anything, right? In fact, the lack of credentials was almost as appealing to the station brass at the time, right? It's just like, oh wow, like you've got passion, you've got knowledge, but you're also like this raw, untapped mind who, you know, we can train you and we can show you all of these different things and open up these ideas. And as long as you bring this enthusiasm and you're sort of semi-dependable, yeah, like let's go, right?
For sure. Well, and again, I guess like, you know, part of the reason that we're talking now is because it relates to how the station is funded. I mean, not only are people listening to the station and getting introduced to new music or volunteering and getting an opportunity to play music that they like and introduce it to other people, but there's also the aspect of the community making this exist financially and by offering their support. So what is, can you just quickly explain the structure of how ULM FM is, how it exists as an entity, you know, and stays afloat?
Yeah, for sure. So since day one, and this is, you know, like for most radio stations that exist on a university campus in the country, chances are there is some sort of a student levy component to their funding.
Right.
And so, you know, like since 1998, we've been super lucky that, you know, students have willingly put, you know, a small percentage of their student fees towards the radio station every year. And, you know, like it has provided us with this great base of funding. But, you know, like times change, obviously, the cost of doing business continues to increase. And so, you know, like we do, we're a little bit different than CQW folks at the University of Winnipeg, because we do take some radio advertising.
Right.
You know, I think that that they don't do a lot of that anymore. But, you know, most of our advertising comes from local businesses. We over the last year, like we've done a ton of work with new and emerging independent artists who, you know, say got funding from Factor or from SoCan or from whoever. And they, one of the mandates that is tied to their funding is that they have to spend it on an independent radio station, right? And so, you know, we're happy to promote that sort of stuff. It kind of fits within our whole ethos. But, you know, outside of those two streams and getting the odd project-based grant every once in a while, we do what everybody else has done, which is hold some sort of a funding drive. Ours is called Pledgerama, but, you know, like CQW's fund drive, there's fund week, there's, it's like a PBS style telethon, right? Where we speak to the community and we say, hey, look, we're very, very happy and very, very fortunate to exist in this amazing arts community. And we love supporting all of you. But this one time a year, for 1 week, we're going to ask you for your support, right?
Right.
And so we take donations. And in exchange for the donation, we will give you incentives, all sorts of really cool stuff that we want people to actually use.
Sure.
You know, like it's not like a tote bag that you're going to throw out, or a coffee mug that's going to go in a garage sale or something.
It's
like
always
that,
cool
right?
stuff. It's always every year I look at the different, you know, pledge levels, and it gets better with each higher level, obviously. But there's always cool stuff in there,
right? And then, you know, or you know, if you don't want the incentives, you can take a tax receipt, right? Like, and that helps you at tax time. Cool. But it's this opportunity for our hosts to kind of reach out to people that, like, we know that there are people out there listening.
Yeah.
And it's this really great sort of feeling when we're rewarded by the listeners, and they like kind of they're given back, right? And it's just like one of the greatest questions that I always get is, how many people are listening, right? What's our rating share? What's the, and you know, like that's such antiquated sort of way of looking at things like radio ratings or TV ratings, right?
Well, do you even get radio ratings the same way as, I don't think you do, right? The same way as the other stations
no,
do?
No, and in fact, like Winnipeg isn't really like adjudicated or rated in the same way that it used to, right? Like, the idea that they would determine what listenership was based on a 72-hour survey where you sat and you wrote down, okay,
you self-report,
right, and like that is so far from being any sort of like scientific measure. And then they take that data and they extrapolate it, and it's just like, well, Winnipeg's got 750,000 people, and if 75 people listen to UMFM for 3 hours, well, then, you know, you can do the math. And it's just right. Like, yeah, but that's not the way that it works, right? That's not how humans function. And so saying to my hosts, like, hey, I guarantee you that there's people out there listening. I know that there's people out there listening because I hear from them all the time, right? Hey, I, you know, so-and-so's show, I was listening and they played this amazing song. What was it, right? and I'm always super quick to figure it out. And I send them YouTube links. And
I know I've tweeted that. You know, I've tweeted that at the station multiple times over the years. Like, well, what did I just hear? That was great. Yeah, it's for sure. It's a thing.
Right. But then being able to, like, Pledgerama for us is the most sort of physical, easy demonstration of how many people out there are listening.
Sure.
Because it's like, hey, you know, this year we got 515 pledges and we raised X number of dollars.
Yeah.
And that is people saying, hey, I believe in what you're doing. I think that what you're doing is important. And I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is and support that way, right? And I'm not saying that financial support is the only way to support the station, right? But it is one way of doing it, and it's something that we have definitely come to rely on.
For sure, definitely, yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think it's also interesting to see, too, that probably a lot of your audience is people who don't have a ton of, you know, expendable income. And the fact that they are pledging it to the station, that's got to mean a lot, right? The fact that, you know, I mean, there could be anyone from any background listening to the station, but the people I know who listen to UMFM and are vocal about it, they're people in bands, they're people who have part-time jobs and they're trying to make it as a musician or something. They don't have a lot of cash. And the fact that they're willing to kind of empty the piggy bank and give to the station, that's got to be a nice feeling.
Well, it's super important to acknowledge that, right? And I mean, it's like when you're making an impact and the people who you are directly trying to support and to sort of spread the word about, right? When it's reciprocal and they come back and they support you, it's so important and it's so validating. But, you know, like, it's also the reason why, like, doing Pledgerama this year, it's going to be the first time that we've actually done the funding drive since 2019.
Oh, wow. October 'cause the pandemic, 2019. Yeah.
And so when COVID hit, you know, like, we used to do Pledgerama in October. And so we're sort of starting to gear up towards October 2020. And like in the spring of 2020, we just kind of collectively as a group, station staff, the board, and our volunteers, we just kind of looked at one another and we're like, it doesn't really feel right for us to be asking folks for money when a lot of us out there are struggling, right?
Sure.
We're all broadcasting from home. You know, there are volunteers who I didn't see for 2.5 years. I saw them like this, right? I saw them on over Zoom, different meetings, but it didn't feel right to us as a group to be asking people to support when, you know, maybe they needed support themselves,
for sure.
Whether it was financial, mental health, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, at the end of the day, because we were broadcasting remotely, we were able to pare back operations to a comfortable level where we were, you know, able to save some money and to sort of proceed. But, you know, it also meant like we pressed pause on this thing that had become a fixture for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we exhausted a lot of our surplus, you know, kind of getting through the pandemic, which a lot of stations did. And
definitely,
so,
yeah, for sure. I'm sure almost all of them had to find some way to solve that problem, right?
Right. And, you know, we were pretty lucky that there were some relief grants and there were some different things that were floating around. But it felt like this year for us, you know, not only are we celebrating our 25th year of broadcasting, right? Back in September 4th, we hit the 25 year mark. But on campus this year, like, the return of people being interested in doing things, right? Like, it was huge. Like, we trained and sort of added, I think, about 35 new volunteers.
That's a lot,
to our radio family, right? And it's like, it's all sorts of kids, and, you know, I call everybody who's younger than me a kid, but it's kids who are coming with these ideas that are just like, oh my God, like, how do you know about this? Where did you hear this? And a lot of them are like, well, you know, I've been listening to UMFM since I've been in high school, and I've been wanting to get involved at this radio station since I heard it when I was 15 years old, but, you know, I couldn't come volunteer because you were closed to the public or, you know, the first year of university, it was all online. And so now all of these people are coming in with all this enthusiasm, and it's just been so reinvigorating, right? And it's just been this amazing thing. And so it's like, hey, the best way to kind of cap off this great year that we've had is let's do Pledgerama again. Let's get back out there and let's get back to doing what we do on the regular.
So when is Pledgerama happening this year, and how do people get involved? How do you support the station or a show that you particularly like?
For sure. So Pledgerama takes place April 19th through the 26th. You can donate. umfm.com/donate is the easiest way to make a pledge. We offer, like I said, a number of different incentive levels. But, you know, we are never going to turn anybody away. Everybody who donates is going to walk away with something.
Yeah.
Right. We're pretty flexible. You know, like if you donate at sort of a level of at least 101.50, and say, hey, I want a hoodie, right? But the hoodie, you only start looking at a hoodie in the $250 donation range. But you come and you say, well, I donated 101.50. I'd love a hoodie. I don't want anything else. I just really loved it. Just like, yeah, okay, let's do that. Like, let's figure out how to make that work. Because at the end of the day too, right? Like, I love going to shows and going like out at the folk festival, and I do a sort of an audit during the day, right? It's just like, oh, okay. So, you know, you've got 3 pledge shirts from 2012, and I saw 5 from 2016, and oh, hey, look at, wow, I haven't seen anybody wearing that out in the wild since, well, I did, right?
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, it's really, really cool to see people like endorsing what we do in that way, right? And so, you know, we want to celebrate radio, and we want to celebrate the station, and, you know, like, I want to like tip the hat to all the great volunteers too every week, right? Because there's so many people doing cool things, and so you can choose to donate to any of the shows that are on the air. We've also got a section now for legacy donations. So, you know, unfortunately, over the last couple of years, our radio family has been hit pretty hard, and we've lost some folks. And so, you know, I know that the impact that these people made in people's lives are very, very great. And so being able to donate in their memory as well, right? It's something that we thought was important. And
yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's a big thing for us. And you know, like, the outpouring of support is always fantastic. And watching volunteers get together, get excited at our different meetings, talk about, you know, different incentives that they're offering on their shows. And it's just really, it's a reflection of the different personalities that are at the station and the different passions at play, right? And it's just really, it hammers home why, after 23 years, I don't want to go anywhere else.
Yeah.
I want to be, these are my people, right? I keep telling my kids, right? It's like, oh, hey, like, you will find your people, you know, maybe the people that you're hanging around with, well, you know, this seems boring right now. High school seems boring, or it's interesting, or whatever. I'm like, they might not be your people. You'll find your people.
Yeah.
And I found my people. I know where I want to be, right? And it's great to see people who share that sort of interest.
For sure. That's an awesome place to be, I think, in life anyway, just to sort of know where you belong and who you belong with. Absolutely. So this will probably come out as a podcast sort of midway through your pledge week, your pledge drive.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are hearing this after the fact, because, you know, it's a podcast, someone could hear it a year from now, or they could hear it right when it comes out. How does someone get involved with the station in any capacity, whether they want to volunteer, whether they want to find out how to support it financially, whether they want to find out when the next pledge drives or other events are happening? What's the best way to do that?
Well, so if you go to our website, it's umfm.com. All the information that you need is like front and center across the top of the page, right? So there's five or six sections, you know, about the station, how to donate, how to get involved, how to volunteer. And so you can fill out an application, you can email, and I'll fire you an email back right away and say, hey, when can you come down, take a tour, go through the orientation, right? Like, we're constantly doing intake, right? Obviously the big periods are in the fall and sort of right after Christmas.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I'm training new volunteers all the time. Obviously, you know, during the pledge drive, things are a little bit hairier. But we do ask, say, hey, you know what, you're interested? Come meet people, come hang out, come check things out when things are kind of at their most sort of amplified.
Yeah.
And then you'll see sort of what being a part of UMFM's radio family is all about, right? I've got, I think, six or seven volunteers that I'm ready to start training in May. And yeah, we're constantly taking new folks in. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a student at the U of M or you're a student of life and you're somewhere out there in the community, right? We're taking all sorts of folks in. And it's just, if you've got something that you're passionate about, if there's something that you're interested in, you know, come and share that with us, and we'll find a way to make it work.